Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
Are you confident that the kind of targets for emissions reductions that he's talking about here are up to the challenge, are what the scientists are telling us we need to do to avoid really, really bad global warming?
The science indicates that to stabilize atmospheric concentrations, we need to reduce emissions by somewhere in the range of 60% to 80%. And the senator's proposal is for a 60% reduction by 2050. It does lie within the range of the science, and it's chosen to both meet the scientific standard, but also to be able to get on board, especially in the United States, those constituencies who have not previously supported efforts on climate change. So in an effort to make sure we get something done, he's tailored his proposal to be good on the science, good on the economy, and hopefully allow us to have some leadership in this issue in the world.
There does seem to be a lot of attention paid here to keeping the potential cost to the economy down. Tell me about a few of those and why you think that's going to maybe bring additional people into the fold here who have resisted.
The key from an economic point of view is to recognize that over the long term, you know, 2030, 2040, 2050, the U.S. economy will look dramatically different regardless, and the flexibility and ability to reinvent ourselves has always been one of the hallmarks of the U.S. economy. The senator is confident that this proposal will shape that reinvention of the U.S. economy in a way that will be better favorable for the environment. However, over the near term, you want to make sure that as the transition occurs, you don't overly burden existing industries, so he allows for generous use of offsets, low-cost ways to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. He has banking and borrowing provisions in his approach, which would allow firms to do the emissions reductions at the time which is least cost for them, and in general, shape the policy so that you can go forward over the long term, but not cripple the investment climate in the near term.
However, if we allow, say, more of these offsets, you know, paying farmers to keep carbon in the ground versus releasing it into the air, that sort of thing, we're not really reducing emissions. And it seems to me we might also sort of undermine the overall effort by keeping the price of carbon really low and therefore not providing a strong incentive to go out and, you know, market these new technologies.
Senator's proposal is, number one, to only allow as an offset something which is verifiably a reduction in emissions. You certainly do not want to allow into the system something that doesn't reduce the overall emission of greenhouse gases. So he will not allow in the system keeping doing the same thing you're doing right now. You would have to change your behavior to reduce emissions to qualify as an offset. Second feature of the offsets is that they are phased out over time. You do want to send the message that while this is a valuable short-run tool to mitigate the costs, over the long term, you have to provide the incentives for the innovation, for the new technologies that will allow us to have our energy use be more of a low-carbon, low-greenhouse gas type.
Cost, one big question mark. The other one has always been China. What do we do about these rapidly developing countries? How will Senator McCain bring them into action here? I was left a little fuzzy, frankly, in his speech. He mentioned the potential of using trade tools, but then seemed to back away from that somewhat.
He doesn't believe that it is a valuable thing at the moment to hold out the threat, as some others have, of using trade as a retaliatory weapon against developing countries. His view is first that he has always felt that open trade is beneficial to the United States and to our partners. It's a way to engage with other countries and bring our values to those societies. On climate in particular, he thinks that China has two major features that people haven't appreciated. Number one, they have a self-interest in doing better on the environment. It's becoming increasingly apparent that the Chinese have severe environmental problems. The Chinese leadership is recognizing this is damaging for China itself, and so they will be interested in engaging in a climate change policy. they also need access to the kinds of innovative technologies that we believe the United States will be at the forefront of producing. And so his first two steps will be to engage diplomatically and broadly climate and other issues, and also to, you know, have a great export market to China for low-cost technologies. Key among those will be coal. The United States has as its largest resource coal, and finding a way to use the coal in an environmentally friendly fashion is central to the U.S. China is equally interested in using its coal. So we have a common interest there, and the senator believes that if we can address that problem, we can get the Chinese on board.
What should we do about coal-fired power plants being built right now? I know that Senator is a believer in pursuing carbon capture and storage technology, but what about all the coal power plants that are going to be built before we have that technology available? Should we allow them to go forward knowing that they're going to add to these dangerous levels of CO2?
This is the major reason why we simply should not waste any more time in getting moving on climate change. We need to send the message in the United States that we have to change the way we do business. We've had 8 years. We didn't do anything. It's been a great failure on the international front, but it also has large domestic consequences in the configuration of our energy sources. So the senator would like to hopefully see the Congress move on this year, would walk into a presidency with the ability to begin implementing a policy and engaging in the international negotiations. And that would end the problem of deciding what kind of utilities we would have in the U.S.
It's a difficult challenge to get that kind of legislation through. Would he consider other additional steps beyond the cap and trade that would discourage or even ban coal-fired power?
His top priority is the cap and trade legislation. It is the single most effective way to harness broadly the forces in the corporate world, the environmental world, venture capitalists, the technicians and scientists, to unite on alternatives to carbon-based fuels. He'd like to get that first. If we are successful in that regard and it looks like additional measures are still needed, certainly he's open to that.
So he's open to a ban on coal-fired power?
He's not ever proposed that. He wants to get the cap and trade first and then evaluate where we stand.
Okay. Now, Senator McCain, twice now I've watched him make very interesting, engaging, ambitious remarks about climate change while standing in one in a solar facility and second in a wind facility. And yet he did not vote to extend the tax credits that the solar and wind people tell me almost every day they desperately need extended because they expire this year. Why did he not vote for those?
Senator's campaign schedule is, you know, forced him to miss many votes, and this is just one among them. He certainly believes that the cap-and-trade policy will be the best incentive for wind, solar, and other alternatives. In the interim, he sees no reason to yank the tax credit off underneath them. It should be extended and then evaluated as time goes on.
Right, but he was right here in town on the day one of those votes were held. He was given a speech across town. Senator Clinton found time to vote. Senator Obama found time to vote. Senator McCain could have been the vote that made the difference, that broke the filibuster, and he didn't show up. Would he have voted, if he had been here, would he have voted to support those tax credits?
As I said, you know, he had campaign commitments in town and out of town. The same commitments can apply, and he was unable to attend the vote. And, that's one of many votes where he's been asked, you know, what would have happened. You can't relive history, and you need to go forward and hopefully be successful in the campaign and take the leadership role in this in the White House.
But just to be clear, he does support the production tax credits does he support stripping away the subsidies to the oil industry as well?
He's not interested in extra subsidies to the oil industry. He's made that clear over many years. Voted against the 2005 energy bill that they enlarge these. There's no reason why we should be giving oil, especially at a time when, you know, it's $120 a barrel, extra taxpayer money to do their job.
On nuclear power, he does seem to support extra subsidies, however, or do I misunderstand that?
No, he believes that, you know, at this point, the nuclear power industry has a good financial basis. Its real problems lie in the political environment, making sure that you can explain that the United States has left the zero emissions technology behind at a time it shouldn't. It has problems in the in sort of the pipeline. The manufacturing base has moved out of the United States. It's hard to acquire the facilities. And it has real issues in the waste storage area. And he's a supporter of the Yucca Mountain facility. He thinks that we need to, you know, get that moving and take on the ability to both store and safely process fuels.
So what kind of support are we talking about? I mean, it does involve extra taxpayer money, doesn't it? And isn't that a subsidy of sorts?
The industry pays fees for storage, and you know that's a sensible approach. But at this point, we don't have a facility, and it's time to stop the logjam in the Senate and get the facility moving.
We're talking about Yucca Mountain.
Yes.
How much nuclear power does Senator McCain envision us getting? Right now, it's roughly 20% of our electricity mix. Where would he like to see it?
He doesn't have numerical targets for any alternative to carbon-based fuels. I mean, the idea in the cap-and-trade is to send the signal that we have to do business differently, let the competition begin among the alternatives, and if we end up with 20% wind power, fine. If we end up with, 20% solar, fine. It is whatever can be done at the least cost to meet the environmental objective.
Mm-hmm. Does Senator McCain support the Warner-Lieberman bill?
He's got a lot of features of the Lieberman-Warner bill are consistent with the senator's position. He would like to see it, if at all possible, modified to match his positions on offsets and other aspects of it. But it's a promising start, and hopefully, when it comes up for debate, he'll be able to take a close look and decide whether to vote for it.
Why not make the kind of push for wind and solar that he's making for nuclear power? It seems to me that he's singling nuclear out as something he's really going to go to bat for. Wind and solar, it's kind of like, we'll let them fend for themselves.
He feels that if you look at the scale that the U.S. has in the capacity for nuclear power, it's zero emissions base, we're too quickly dismissing for political and fear reasons a technology that could be deployed to address this issue. And, he's a Navy veteran. He's seen the Navy use nuclear-powered vessels without problem for a long time and simply feels that the public image of the industry doesn't match its potential, and he wants to bring that into alignment.
Okay. Senator McCain's proposal for the gas tax holiday, he took quite a bit of heat over that, and I was wondering, well, how does he square that with his desire to get us off of fossil fuels? Because it seems to me the number one thing that's going to do is encourage people to drive more and burn more gasoline.
The gas tax holiday is a very short-term, Memorial Day to Labor Day issue. The fundamental energy and climate issues that we face are over much longer time spans. He views the transition to moving away from imported oil is something which is central, something we've never taken on in the United States in a deep and meaningful way. He's committed to doing that. The gas tax holiday was meant to be a temporary relief to provide American families who have been hit by housing prices, who are now being hit by student loan crunches, a weak labor market, just a little bit of a relief over the summer season.
And where do you see Senator McCain's chief differences with Senator Obama's approach to this? Seems to me they're by and large on the same page here.
It looks like Senator Obama has come to Senator McCain's position on this, which is a good thing, that it's an important issue, requires leadership. He's not ever proposed legislation. He hasn't ever tried to get it through the U.S. Senate. The senator's proposal is configured not just to look good, but to actually pass, and I think it has a very good chance of that.
And is cap and trade by itself enough? A lot of people, much more well versed in this than I am, certainly, think that you're going to need other policy tools as well, like more aggressive CAFE standards, a renewable electricity standard, things like that. Is Senator McCain open to those ideas as well?
The goal, in his view, is to get the greatest challenge addressed, which is to put the cap and trade in place, to engage internationally and bring the developing countries on board. if it turns out that the U.S. Is successful in that leadership role, both domestically and internationally, and additional policies are necessary to meet targets, he would be open to that. The climate change objective is, after all, the primary concern. But the cap and trade is the top priority at this time.
And he actually opposes or has voted against a renewable electricity standard,
yes,
correct?
He has a concern about mandates and the picking of alternatives as opposed to having a cap and trade and letting us find the least cost alternative that emerges.
Senator McCain is now the top recipient among the remaining candidates of campaign contributions from the oil and gas industry. If Senator McCain's stance on, say, subsidies to the oil industry and seriously addressing climate change are, tough on big oil, why is big oil giving him the most money?
I think you probably have to ask big oil that. The senator's obviously more than a one policy person. He's got strong leadership potential in education, health, international affairs. He's the uniquely equipped to be the commander-in-chief from day one. Obviously, when people donate to campaigns, they look at more than any single issue. They look at the overall package.
Well, I really appreciate your time. I think you were very, very generous with time, and it was a pleasure talking with you.
Nice to meet you, and good luck.